Hey, this is Mary Izette from Fifth Hammer Brewing. You are listening to Steal This Beer. Thanks to all of you who support this program by donating. If you would like to support this program, please go to patreon.com/stealthisbeer.
Discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday.
You gotta stop saying that.
But it is.
No, people right now have just stopped wearing their wristwatches. like economies because, have fallen
because they've rubbed
we've
holes
lost
in,
Denmark
they've rubbed holes in their wrists
right
with,
we've been
with
recording their... for the last like 3 hours together, but this is over the course of 3 weeks. We have no idea what dystopian future we're broadcasting to right
or
now.
Or we've come out of it and the world has been saved by beer. John, could you please be Mr. Brightside?
No.
Coming out of my cage.
It's just not in you.
Doing just fine.
All right, that's a different song, isn't it?
We've been recording for 3 hours. We've been drinking a lot. We've been having some fun. We talked to Matt Monahan, who was reassuring. We talked to Seth from
Worst Beer Blog. That was last week.
Who was, let's say he was fun to talk to. I don't know that we learned anything, but he was fun to talk to, and that's cool.
We still don't know who he is. And now...
When we're drinking this much, few people understand both of us in this state. But one of them is absolutely Mr. Tommy Arthur.
Yes.
So
should we do it?
And let's face it, if anybody's going to be savvy in this dystopian future, looking forward from Monday at 5 to 3 weeks in the future, Tommy's a guy. So why don't we ring up Tommy?
All and right. We're going to have dialing
John
music.
John Hall has asked my son Finn to do some dialing music for us. So Finn, why don't you start playing the dialing music?
Go for it.
Tommy?
So we're on speaker?
You're on. You're on speaker. You're on John's janky system from Edgelord Beer Podcast
Beer Edge.
That we're using here on Steal This Beer, the world's greatest brew site.
Tommy, why are we on speaker? Can you use the headset so that people can hear your dulcet tones a little bit better?
You're fucking killing me. My headset's at home.
I love Tommy.
Well,
it's fine.
And you can't...
It's fine.
Fine,
I can
fine
hear Tommy
whatever.
Just
it doesn't
fine.
Matter.
I'll just hold the handset. How's that? Does that make that better?
Yes.
No, well... It's fine, Tommy.
It does.
So, Tommy, the introduction I just gave you before you were dialed in with dialing music by my 13-year-old was that we've been doing this for 3 hours. We're trying to build some shows, and we're doing call-ins. And few people understand the two of us when we're this drunk better than you, so we figured we better put you in the third spot.
Well, I apologize that I'm 16 beers behind you. I am on my second double IPA.
What are you drinking? That's a good question. What's the drink?
I am drinking Dank and Stick It. Dank and Sticky currently.
yeah, you
what
are.
What else would you do?
You're sounding like Hall.
That is an end times beer.
It's 12:15 here, and the rules are, you know, it's the White Claws. You know, there
it's
are no
airport.
Laws when you're drinking.
It's airport, drinking
airport
rules.
I know. Did you see that meme? I love that. It's one of my
Wait,
favorite
what's
new
airport
ones.
Rules?
You can
but doesn't matter what time
you
want to start
want.
Drinking. If
yeah.
you're in the airport, it's fine.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, it's airport
oh,
rules.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. How's it going? Well done, gentlemen.
I'm surprised that you didn't know that, considering that I've drank in airports with you and Tommy as well.
You're
but, yeah.
talking to a guy who lives his life by airport rules. Why would I know the caveat that makes Augie rules?
Yeah, he doesn't need the carve out.
Yeah, no, I've never been like, wait, is it okay to drink a beer?
All right, so Tommy, I think you've answered my first question. Earlier this week, it announced that Adam Martinez, your director of communications, announced that Lost Abbey would be delivering to customers, and I know Carton's doing that as well. But one of the things was that you yourself was going to be driving the delivery van and dropping beers off on people's doorstep. If you're two double IPAs in, I'm imagining that's not the case.
Well, it's over now. He's done his morning delivery route.
we
John, have you never worked a real job?
Tommy's the milkman.
He's done 50 drops.
Yeah.
Now he's done.
Tommy's showing up at somebody's house at 4:30 in the morning and putting the six-pack in the milk crate outside.
I will tell you this. I delivered to one house this week. It was on my block. My neighbor ordered. That being said, I had a lot of shit on my plate this week. I do actually expect that I will be taking beer to houses this week. Yes.
All right, so let's get that introduction. Let's frame the conversation from there, because you know we're going to stray everywhere. But
so
let's start
you're not
with when you
yet,
first
right?
came.
Oh no, we've
yeah,
been recording,
no, you're
this
recording
entire
this whole
time.
You're on
perfect.
Mic. But let's start with, so when you first came on the show, you came out to Philly, you sat down with us when we were new and I was new and all that. And it was,
we were recording. That's
but
great.
For me, it was kind of the, oh my God, I'm meeting Tommy Arthur thing. You know what I mean? And then over the years of me having a brewery for 6 years and John keeping you and I close to each other, it's gotten very comfortable where I'm like, Tommy, what do I do when this happens? Or Tommy, how do I do this? Or what the fuck does this mean? So when John, when we were doing the, hey, let's get a West Coast call, let's get a East Coast call, let's talk to people about what's going on, you were the first kind of first guy to come to mind because we're now at a point where it's pretty matter of fact and you've got more experience than most humans.
Well, I don't have experience in viral infections. If
no, but you've got a lot of years of nimbly handling shit. Guys that started when you started didn't nimbly handle as well. So if you're talking to a guy who's got a small startup brewery 8 years in, who's managed to get some traction and focused on tap handles, which have now been made illegal in 30 states.
Yeah. Augie's asking for a friend.
I'm asking for a friend, yeah. My friend's name is Augie.
Yeah.
We're the only two Augies. But you know what I mean? So what's actually...
It would have been funnier if you said Lawrence,
context.
But yeah.
That would have been funny.
It would have been
funnier. I'm sorry, I'm not funny when I'm this drunk. That's why we saved Tommy for third.
This is
why
we need rehearsals.
But Tommy, tell me what the fuck my life is going to be for the next 6 months. Like,
First of all, are you going to survive the virus? Because that's the first thing you got to ask
yourself.
Well,
let's face it. I am basically made of 90% hand sanitizer just by consumption. So
yeah, and the other 10% is water, right? Okay, yeah. I think you're going to find the level of incidences in the beer business are quite low. We are hospitality forward, and we are constantly drinking other people's spit. So I think we're going to be okay.
Perfect.
Have you already trademarked that name, Other People Spit?
Can we make that
no,
as a collaboration?
I'm pretty sure that's, I'm not down with OPP. Oh, wait, that's not
OPS.
The same as Other People Spit. Yeah. So Brooklyn
yeah,
has
you
Black
know
Ops.
Us.
Yeah, Brooklyn has Black Ops, so it's part of that same.
We almost pulled
stuff.
A Black Ops to drink with you.
We did.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Instead, Augie, what did you pull from your.
So here's the thing. It's Tommy, right? So
it is Tommy.
I didn't want to throw him a curveball. I wanted to throw him something he knew. So I pulled out of my cellar an old snorkel from Jester King because it's unique
Ooh.
Enough that you would know it. It's unique enough that I know it, and it's people we know love, and nobody's going to let us down. So I wasn't there to curveball. But we did. John brought a whole bunch of janky beers out of his cellar.
Seen those janky beers.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah,
it's not even alphabetized.
You guys are the worst.
No. You're
Is
the
it
worst.
A cellar if it's full of janky shit?
It's like where Dorothy should have gone before the tornado. It's not a real cellar, but it would have kept her safe.
Yeah.
But hold on, Tommy. But we did let the thieves on the Face Libro pick what we should drink. So John and I, while we talk, will be drinking a winter landscape from Industrial Arts. That's what they picked out of your collection.
All right.
Good.
So,
I like Jeff Spears.
Yeah. Well,
who doesn't love Chief?
Yeah.
So wood-aged black lager is what Winter Landscape is. It's from the Chief. Actually, one of the casualties, probably the least important casualty of the entire COVID-19, is that our anniversary thing with
our
Chief
live show, our fifth anniversary,
has gotten weird. So we don't know what we're going to do about that.
No, we know what we're doing is that we're not doing it.
We're not
when
doing
we
that,
said.
But we need to get Chief on.
Well, that's like right behind them canceling CBC and Savor, and then you guys are in the three position.
Oh,
right.
was Savor canceled as well?
Officially Thursday,
canceled.
I think.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I missed that.
Yeah. So
who can keep up with the news these
anyway,
days?
But
certainly
let's,
not a reporter.
Let's let Tommy answer first. Right. What do we do? Do you just
what
go?
Do
you just make your, the whole world knows this, it works on store shelves, I'm just going to focus on this for 6 weeks? And how do, the biggest thing I'm having trouble figuring out as a brewer with, you know, plans that were in place that have obviously been thrown out, what's going on is it takes 4, 6, 8 weeks to make a beer. 4, 6, 8 weeks, we're hoping the world is healed. What do you put
right.
in the tanks right now?
Glycerol and ethanol.
And just wait.
When the National Guard calls out for more hand sanitizer, I have a client. No, it's very unbelievable. How about I spin back like to like a Monday? You know, I one of my favorite things that I saw this week was like, whatever, I've had the worst year ever and it's only been a week. You know, it's like this whole like, oh my God, it's been, you know, 5 days. 5 days ago, we were still able to do things. You have no idea what your governor is going to do. And, you know, then your governor says something and then your county supervisor decides to do something. And like everything's a domino right now. And it's unbelievable. So luckily there's still some semblance of normalcy. But let's talk about reality. Like six months, a year ago, everybody and their mother was like, oh my God, self-distribution's king on, you know, own premise, blah, blah, blah. And now all of a sudden every own premise has had to square, you know, shut the doors and there's nowhere to go. I saw there was Trillium being sold in Whole Foods right now. You know, like, it's crazy. I mean, how much White Claw we selling now? People at home drinking the Claw? Or they're like, fuck it, I'm going to get fat. Put the 20 pounds back on.
Yeah, so. I love that, by the way. Yeah. Around here in Jersey, the couple places that... So the only places I'm intimate with are the places that have been good to us for 8 years.
It's an odd choice of words.
And they were never big White Claw guys.
Yeah.
What? I'm
you making intimacy IPA?
I do. I will now. But
Augie is the reason that TM. It's no pants, no service. But is the sign on most
almost
doors.
Almost everywhere in New Jersey. But what I'm saying is those places which did have to give some of their real estate to White Claw this summer, that real estate hasn't moved in 5 weeks. And we keep having to bring beer back to them. So that's kind of...
Yeah, this
I like that this seems to be restoring
their,
people
their,
to
yeah.
what matters. And Tommy, you've long been an advocate for, yeah, that kind of fuckery is fun. Yeah, that kind of fuckery is fun. Yeah, that kind of fuckery is fun. But beers that you can buy a case of, lock yourself in the house in for 10 days and live with it are the beers that matter because that's what beer is.
So how come we haven't seen anybody publish Thrillist or otherwise the, you know, your Desert Island 5? I mean, what's your Lockdown 5 look like?
Right. Well, exactly. And,
but
and what's
comfort
fun is...
food. I was talking to Larry Bell yesterday, and that's what he was saying, that, like, Two Hearted is going through the roof right now, and all of the beers that, like, we all grew up on, because $10 this week feels a lot more valuable than $10 last week, and people are going and buying what they know is going to be quality, what it's going to be familiar.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all.
Well, yeah. So, but that's us, right? So we love to fuck around with trendy shit, but no matter what, we make sure we never run out of Dub and Boat. And those are our, this is what we drink beers. And it's nice to have them. Those are in the schedule more because we were kind of obstinate and resistant to going all trend. And Tommy, you're like, you didn't even follow the ridiculous aromatic trends till you had a whole brand you could build around
THC.
It.
THC.
THC.
Yeah.
Like, talk about that. Like, are you now all of a sudden like, see, I fucking told you guys you were going to need a really drinkable beer.
I don't know. I mean, we've been saying this for a lot. We've been saying this for a lot of months now. You know, we were about to make ourselves completely irrelevant by sticking to our guns, and you know, and the market just shifted in such a dramatic way that it made seltzer irrelevant. I mean, good God, like everything that you thought was important from you know can releases every weekend to, you know, tap handle craziness to, I mean, they shut down half the channel, like three quarters of the channel.
We lost three quarters of our business when they shut down.
No, we focused on
tap handles, and New Jersey's made tap handles. Like the way I try to say it nicely to people is we've tried to be in the cordial beer business and the state's just made cordial illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't follow California, but on Thursday night at some point they revised some of the statutes in California. They're allowing bars to now fill growlers for the first time, and they can have ready-made cocktails to go.
I saw that. Like,
God
but
bless
there can't
it.
Be a hole in the cap, right?
There cannot
it can't
be a, hole
be
in
a
the cap.
Straw cup. It has to be
and you have to sell food with it. But in the scheme of things,
here,
this is like
here's
landscape.
A pretzel.
Now, Tommy, you've been around long enough and you've been annoyed by laws long enough. Is there a part of you that hopes some of these?
What are you doing? I'm
adjusting the mic so I can relax and talk because it's comfortable.
Right.
John, be comfortable for once in your life.
He's doing the no pants, no shoes, no
this
service.
This is like the worst time to tell somebody to be comfortable.
Be comfortable.
Right.
It's okay. You got your mask on. You're wearing your purple gloves. So Tommy,
by the way,
but
the
what I'm
whole
saying is
there
is part
following
of you that's
me in heavy
seeing
size.
these ingressions to a little bit of sensible, let's try to make people more comfortable and hoping some of them stick, like hey, they've stopped being ridiculous about takeout. You know what I mean? Like what do you hope that they've done in the last week that could relax, or do you expect everything just to slam shut once this is considered behind us.
No, they definitely said the language is real strong. We're not enforcing these, and when we're done, we're going to go back to them and we will give you guidance. I mean, they did some scary stuff. They allowed for bars to serve, you know, pre-mixed cocktails or otherwise, or, you know, I don't know, you could probably go in and order, you know, 18 shots of JMO and they just hand you the bottle. But
that's a hell of a markup.
They've always handed you that bottle, trust me.
That is a hell of a markup, but the crazy thing is that when they sent out the guidance, we're not allowed to sell beer past midnight normally according to the rules, but I can actually deliver beer till 2 a.m. So that's kind of weird.
Yeah, first of all, I just want you showing up at my door at 1:45.
Yeah, I love that you said
You know, you just need an Airbnb in Encinitas, and I can make that happen. Okay.
So, Tommy, you have a couple of different brands though. So you guys have the Lost Abbey, which I'm guessing you're best known for. But then there's also Port, and then there's also the Hop Concept THC, and now you also have Tiny Bubbles.
Oh, I don't know Tiny Bubbles. First, tell us what Tiny Bubbles is, Tommy, because I'm behind.
Well, Tiny
on
Bubbles
that one.
Is not a guy from Hawaii singing about the things under the sea. Just so we're clear.
Boy, you had that one locked in. Loaded, huh?
Yeah, Tiny Bubbles.
First time
is
telling that joke. Yeah,
canned sour beer, live sour beer in a can.
All lactic.
All lactic, all real fermentation. We were set to launch in April 1-ish.
Oh Jesus, fuck!
How's that going? Yeah. For
sorry
you?
About that.
We're okay because it was going to be a slow roll and a self distribution thing. So, okay. The packaging's brilliant. So if we actually still are under lock and key and all this stuff, I actually think the launch might be more successful because. People will be looking for some new things, so it could actually work in our favor. Not that that's how we, you know, billboarded it or poster boarded it out, but it's conceivable that it might do good. You know, retailers looking for new things.
Well, I would trust you for those, right? So the world's gotten so weird on those beers. Like, so we make a little line of those. I think you'd be proud of where we do basically a lacto ferment, and then we finish it on Chico with the fruit pre, so it dries the fuck out.
Nice.
And it's, you know, the basically my intention on those beers is Sauvignon Blanc drinkers, right? The person in the brewery with a beer lover who's like, no, I like wine. I'm like, oh, this will make you happy. But then there's all those people who fruit a Berliner and are just, you know, just making a smoothie with some sourness to it. I would trust that whatever you're putting out in that world of completely dried out, you know what I mean? Like it'll be it'll be playful, but it'll be something I want to drink four of.
Yeah, no, we're not going after the smoothie thing at all. And by the way, I can never be proud of your beers. That's all, pride is an internal thing. So,
you can be proud of me. I've listened to you, and I've internalized some of your advice and turned it into my beer. So you probably could if you knew. If I haven't told you that, it's John's fault because John tells me to always make sure you're.
You
angry.
Guys have digressed long enough. So you have four different brands,
fuck
though.
You, John,
so which one? Oh man. Keep your 6 feet away from me right now.
Come on. Your
are there beers that are performing better or that you think could perform better if this thing does continue on for a couple of months versus the others? Like, I understand, like, the Lost Abbey beers, like, you could make them now, and they're probably not going to be ready for 12, 18 months or beyond.
Yeah, I feel like everything is super about what am I drinking at home, and I don't know that people are going through a celebratory phase and, you know, I did appreciate you breaking out the barley wine the other night, and I've seen some pictures.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Breaking stuff out.
Well, it was a 2016 Angel Share. So Andy Crouch and I have been talking, and I've seen this online as well, of we have all of these bottles in our cellar that we save for, quote-unquote, a special occasion. If we're all home right now and the future is uncertain.
And we're all airport drinking.
And we're all airport drinking. Right. And I've always been a big advocate of this whenever anybody has come to the house of saying, like, okay, like, if it's in the cellar and it interests you, let's open it. It doesn't have to be a wedding. It doesn't have to be an anniversary. It doesn't have to be anything, along those lines. Let's just open what we enjoy right now. And I'd love to see more of that happening. And I think that people are definitely doing that right now because of it. But what are you seeing as far as, like, what is appealing to your consumers right now of the brands that you have?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess
cases you've delivered, what have they been?
Yeah, I mean, that's it, right? I mean, in terms of delivery, we're definitely seeing lots of the different IPAs and stuff. And I mean, it's the range. We have Devotion, which is our Belgian blonde, and that's in the mix. But people are certainly just looking for beers to drink and crush at home. we aren't putting a lot of the Lost Abbey, you know, crazy cellar beers online because we don't feel that people at this point are going to, you know, take the order to a couple $100 just to load up the cellar. I think people are very temporal right now, and they're like, look, I've got you know, a 3-year supply of toilet paper, a 1-week supply of hand sanitizer, and 3 days worth of beer on hand.
I need to fill in the beer section.
Yeah.
Yeah. You finally heard him, right? Because you're busy texting Justin.
I'm letting Justin know that we're going to be calling him in just a minute.
We got time.
All right.
We can ramble with Tommy. I'm still going to open the snorkel. But first, hey, Tommy, we should talk about, because part of, you've been on the show. You know how we're supposed to do it. But we're doing it. The people picked, and they picked Winter Landscape.
What brings us together during
our pandemic? What brings us together during our pandemic is clear beer drinking out of Augie's cellar. So we have Winter Landscape out of John's cellar. Which isn't dated. Chief, you got to date this shit. There it is. Package is on 12/11/19.
Yeah.
12/17/19.
Jason so Garris, who's one of our Patreons and a good friend of mine, dropped this off at my house, so I thought I'd bring it down.
Nice.
Because, like, I don't stand in line for
Thank
beer.
Thank you, Jason. But you know the Chief, and he's made a beer you would respect. It's got, I'm guessing it's got some, like, charred wheat in it or something, because there's that little bit of ashy wheatness to it. But otherwise, it's fun to drink. It dries out on a heavy Maillard effect, but no real sweetness. And there's some classic Chief Simcoe hoppiness to it.
Love it.
Right? It's a Chief beer. If you said, hey, Chief, make me a black lager, this is what it's going to taste like.
It almost falls into the black IPA territory, though.
No, that's like, just because has to hop. Like,
well,
that.
I understand, but it is aggressively hopped in the way that, like, a lot of, like, Schwartz beers aren't, or a lot of, like, yeah.
Right, but that's your signature, right? So when Justin wrote that dopey piece about Italian pilsners, and he said what makes a pilsner Italian is, you know.
It's an accent.
Dry hop. I'm like.
It's a me. I'm out of you.
But I've literally never written any recipe that didn't have some dry hop to it. That's how I write recipes. Yeah. Well, Chief is the same, but with Simcoe. He has to dry hop with Simcoe. He can't help himself. He can make a Belgian wit. There's going to be 4 pellets of Simcoe at a dry hop.
Is there a signature that you think that you put in your beers, Tommy?
My love and attention.
Oh, stop
Aww.
It. That's so precious. But seriously, give me a real
I
answer.
Have 4 brands. How can I have a signature across all 4?
All right, pick a brand and then pick a signature
well, let me
for
ask
one
you a question.
Of those brands.
Let me rephrase this question, brewer to brewer, because this was fun. We had somebody brought on some very cool beers the other day. You know how we do the black glass thing. But he brought a German Pilsner from, come on, who are they? Big New England breweries. It was Sean Hill and who are the other big New England guys?
Oxbow.
No. The
Trillium.
No.
Treehouse.
Treehouse. So they brought on a Treehouse.
Who was this?
German Pilsner. You were on the show. You drank the beers.
I don't listen to
but
this.
But anyway,
program.
Tommy, so when you're drinking blind, you know how it is. You're trying to figure out what's going on. But what was fun was both of them identified as classic German Pilsners. Both of them were, but blind out of the glass, the Treehouse one tasted like somebody had IPA'd the water. You know what I mean? Whereas the Sean Hill one tasted much more classically German soft water profile. And I was confused by it. But I think what I was realizing is Treehouse has a water profile they do no matter what they're doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Going that far, do you change your salts every time you brew to style? Like,
no.
Okay, so that's what I'm at. That's what I think John's asking.
What's the
first thing you do when you write every recipe?
So I would say that for the port beers and the hop concept beers, we are clearly working with a real strong sense of trying to make the hops be the front runner and just really focusing on bright, crisp beer. And then the Abbey side of life has been sort of. If we're making what amounts to be the core beers, it's got a lot of deftness and homage back to Belgian drinkability. And then on the side of things that's more oak-aged and sour and funky, I think there's a true Lost Abbey signature there. I think if you put our beer in a flight of 10 and you were told the 10 breweries that had beers in that flight, I think you could pick out our beer based upon the house culture-ness of it.
Okay.
Much the same way that I think you could, you know, a Cantillon, a Drefontaine, and a Russian River, or Allagash. I think the signatures, I think, are very, very strong in that regard. So we don't have the identity necessarily lined up for the Tiny Bubbles piece yet, but I do think that the strength of the Abbey brand in particular is about the houseness of that set of beers.
What's interesting about Tiny Bubbles, though, is that if you don't have something yet, how do you know when you've landed on something?
How do I know when we've landed on a good one?
Yeah, or how do you know, like, when you've landed on, like, what you want that, you know, particular brand or that particular
concept
to be?
Especially with four different brands, right?
Yeah.
Because yeah. These are, I think, you know what I mean?
I think the hallmark there is, does it do anything that the other ones do? Because if it does, then you don't need the fourth one. And I think that we are getting very comfortable with the way that Tiny Bubbles is going because of how it's landed. And I don't think, John, we've sent out the samples yet, but
get Adam on that, would you?
Yeah, I will. We're waiting for the second batch to can. But I'm very pleased with the first iteration, and the first iteration is actually the second beer in the series, which is the orange guava version. The brut version is the recipe that we acquired from Hollister as part of the trademark acquisition, but that
so
beer's
back,
in the tank.
Back up a little bit. I know the story, but I don't know if everybody else
I
does.
Definitely have
so,
no
so
idea
Tiny Bubbles
see,
was...
I lobbed you a softball so you could handle the segue.
And you're a terrible
to
reporter.
Fair, to be fair, that's
I'm
the
sorry,
only
that's
a, way yeah. to deal with John Hall.
It's all softballs. No, but so Hollister was a brewery, or I guess still is in Southern California, that had the Tiny Bubbles name, but you bought it from them and their trademark and their recipes and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so Eric Rose and his family founded Hollister Brewing Company up in Goleta, which is the campus of UCSB, so University of Santa Barbara. And he started making Tiny Bubbles really early in their career, probably around 2005, 2006. Had fallen in love with the Monkey Knife Fight. I'm not Monkey Knife Fight. I'm sorry, the Ichnine Berliner from Notting Head.
Yeah,
and did not want to recreate a Berliner, but found that he could make a similar style beer in the Goza version or Goza range, and he was one of the very first people in California to chase down that style of beer and won multiple medals for it. And
yeah,
I mean, just an amazing beer, and he was, he still is a very very well trained chef in my mind. He really appreciates nuance, and that beer just it came from this sense of like I want to make it this way, and I'm going to make it authentic. And it was an awesome recipe. So we wanted the recipe and the name both. And luckily we were able to acquire that and then build this whole platform. And I think Tiny Bubbles is going to be going into this year, Tiny Bubbles was going to be a huge part of our year. We'll see if we can still make that happen.
What have you done in the last week or so? And obviously it's going to change, but like, what have you done? How do you even forecast like what next week's going to look like for you?
I will tell you, it's been an interesting week. Let me back up to the foundational part of the week. Mm-hmm. And then let me back up further to talk about the future, you know, the beer part. Monday we were basically told to shutter it down or shutter in place all of the tasting room business. So on Monday we contacted all of our tasting room staff and told them that they had been, furloughed until further notice. And, on Wednesday, we shut down the entire production of the brewery, knowing the same sort of situation that there was no sense of the future predicted through purchase orders and things like that. And then on Friday, which was yesterday, we finished the last round of the furloughs. So basically, this week has been all about protecting what we have and where we're going. And trying then to develop the roadmap. And the roadmap has been interesting because while the world has definitely gotten very chaotic and things have changed, we are selling a lot of packaged beer, but the tanks are completely full. So a lot of the beer we think for the next month has already been made. So there isn't any scheduled brewing next week for sure. And we only brewed two or three batches this week, but we feel pretty strongly that when this thing kind of pivots, we won't have a lot of old beer in our system.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. But that's actually the question I opened with before John railroaded the two of us.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, so we're basically the same. So we have beers and tanks that are coming out over the next, I say 2 weeks left, right? Like we pulled back 10 days ago. And then I just scheduled beers for kind of yeast maintenance, right? Like we use a Kolsch and Boat, we use Chico and Dub, and those beers do their best work, as I'm sure you know, generationally, like around three to eighth generation, give or take, depending on the two different yeasts. And we handle them differently. And I didn't want to lose that. So basically, I just went into our smallest tanks with our biggest beers for yeast vitality on the schedule. And then I also want to throw, because I think for our neighborhood, we're way more, you know, we need something in there just to break the fucking monotony, right? Our whole plan is just to take care of our neighbors. But as much as I think you could live on boat alone, there should be something weird. So I was like, all right, let's pick a weird one that'll come out in 3 weeks, a weird one that'll come out in 8 weeks. But how do you time the day the tasting room can reopen? You know what I mean? What do you want to have around for that? Because
yeah, but you don't know when the tasting room's
that's what
reopen.
I'm saying. I'm asking Tommy, who's had to look
yeah.
much
yeah.
longer. Like Carton can pick what beers we're brewing every Monday. We're that small. Like yeah. Tommy's got to be much more forward looking. How do you figure out the right way to handle those decisions?
He's laughing in the background.
Of
yeah.
course.
Well, I think that the crazy part of this is are you a 4 weeker, are you a 8 weeker, are you a 3 monther? Like which calendar are you subscribing to right now? You know, and I sent our entire production staff home on Wednesday and I said, our goal is to restart this brewery on April 20th. So that's
okay.
You know, that's
420,
that's,
I get it. I understand.
That's kind of what we
I'm
said.
Not, I'm
now,
not beyond that joke.
Whether or not we get to do that. Yeah, I'm not touching that.
Yeah, no.
Whether or not we get to do that is actually a thing. But I had to put a point on the calendar and say, here's why I feel we will be back or otherwise. That being said, you know, do you need to open with new or do you just need to open and just cause people to swoon? We've got an amazing library of beer. So if I need people to have a reason to get out of their houses after 5 weeks and I got to open the cellar, so be it. But I don't think that's going to be the case at all. I think the case is going to be like, get some fresh air and, you know, walk down the street and, you know, come get it. But I just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. I just want, you know what I mean? Like I want everybody to come back to the tasting room. Not everybody, but those.
Yeah, one
80
at a time.
People that are there on Thursday nights.
Yeah,
that first
yeah.
Thursday, I wanted to be there, and I want them to, right? Because I've hunkered down so much to just give them what I think, what I would want, right? So our, you know, our basic brown, our basic stout, our basic session, our basic IPA, and I'm just focusing on those with letting stuff that was in tanks on their way come out and be the unique things.
But I think you're missing. I think you're missing the point here. Which boy, that sounded really aggressive.
No, go for it. Follow
that's
it.
Fine.
I think
John's been telling me that for 10 years, Tommy.
People are missing social behavior connections. So I don't think it's going to matter what the liquid is necessarily. I think they're just going to wake up and be like, I get to hug my neighbor. That's great.
Yeah, it's true. I am missing hugs.
Yeah.
Like, so we had Matt Monahan at the beginning. And
two episodes
that's
ago.
The last hugs I gave out was Pastry Town 3 weeks ago when I gave Garrett Oliver a big hug and then they told me no hugging anymore.
Did that go over well?
Well, you know,
no.
Garrett loves a good hug from Augie, but he hates John Hall hugs. So, John, you don't get to vote.
Tommy, you sound like you need a little bit of levity in your life right now.
No, actually,
Tommy
the week
sounds
was
happier
really
to
heavy.
Me than everybody else, which
right.
is what
I was just trying to. I was trying to like set up a softball because I'm going to call Justin.
Oh, yeah. Well, Justin, I hope Justin has a letter ready.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear Tommy's
So Tommy, Justin Kennedy, our producer
2020 Justin Kennedy.
COVID-19 Justin is at his apartment in Brooklyn, and he's apparently standing by his iPhone 6 waiting for a call from us, and he's going to read us a letter.
6G.
Yeah. Are you able to stay on while we call him?
I am in no, yes. I, in
and
fact,
if John hangs up
6,
on you like you did
as a former
last
6G
time.
User 2 weeks ago. I'm actually a former 6S user 2 weeks ago. I'm happy to stay on the phone.
All right.
And while
hang
John
on.
Does that, I'll tell you, we've moved on to the snorkel.
Okay.
You're
all
gonna,
right, hang
you're
on.
Gonna,
all right, so we're going to do this. Here
do
we go.
It, John. Don't talk about it. Do it.
We don't
be
have
a
dialing,
man of action.
We don't have dialing music this time.
Oh, we need
your
dialing.
Kid is like gone to play with like Legos. Thanks, Paul.
Come on, Justin. You knew we were calling. Answer on the first ring.
Hello.
Hi,
hey,
Justin.
Hey, buddy.
Hang on. We're going to merge in Tommy. Hang on.
Okay.
Tommy?
Yo.
Got him. Justin, say hi to Tommy. Should I introduce you?
No, we know each other.
Okay, good.
We're good.
Tommy actually wrote the foreword to Justin's book.
Second best forward in all of beer writing.
Yeah.
Except it was a great...
you didn't write a beer forward, but yeah.
Whatever.
I specialize at writing forwards, just not the whole book.
I've got this many minutes of attention span.
Tommy, how many forwards have you written to books?
That's three, I think. One, there's the Markowski Farmhouse book I did, and then I wrote one for somebody in England.
Hold on, Tommy. We're having a production issue. Hold on.
As soon as Justin comes on.
Edgelord Radio has
this
screwed
is all
us.
Justin. This
you
is sat, all
you
Justin.
Sounded like some
all right, try
French
again,
DJ got a hold of your mic. Tommy, talk again.
I'm still here, but...
Much better. Oh, thank you. All right, problem solved. Go on, Tommy. You were saying.
I think I've written three forwards. Well, at least in my head I have. I wrote the Markowski forward for the Farmhouse book, which is clearly obsolete these days.
Justin's working on a book about New York farmhouse breweries. Maybe you can write that forward, too.
No, I shouldn't touch that. And I think I published a forward on a book that I don't know that I ever saw that came out of the UK. So reminds me I should chase that down.
Well, you don't do it this week. Amazon is only about toilet paper this week, but next week they'll go back to books.
All right, Justin
Lucky
Kennedy.
Lucky for you, I have three tasting rooms worth of toilet paper.
Lucky for you,
no customers. Justin, do you have a letter for us?
By the way, before we digress, have you seen the meme going around? I think mostly amongst my California brewer friends, where they take an empty roll of toilet paper, put four toothpicks in it, and put it in water like it's an avocado.
Oh, that's good.
It made me happy. Jeffers shared it, but I've seen it from mostly California brewer guys. But it's like half in water, four toothpicks, hoping this will work. It made me so happy.
Oh, I got to look that one up. That one's really good.
All right, Justin, read something quickly.
All right, we got a non-COVID-19 question from Sean Palmatier. He says, I have a few questions for Augie and follow-up for John. Augie, I remember you saying, I'm paraphrasing here, I want to age sours long enough that they start to get really ugly, then add fruit just to pull them back over the edge. How would you define that ugliness in terms of chemical and sensory profiles? Would you say it's objectively ugly, or is ugly in the context of a modern beer palate? What is the purpose of the fruit? Is the fruit there to make the beer prettier, or does it provide depth that the ugly beer lacks? John, I'd like to hear your thoughts on Augie's answer and how you think his approach compares to that of American brewers and European. Thanks, guys. Hope all is well.
All right.
I'm going to defer my answer to Tommy.
Well, so here's
so
the
Augie
thing.
First
having
and
Tom,
then Tommy.
Having
yeah.
Tommy on it.
Nobody
honestly,
cares what I have to say when Tommy's on the phone.
Definitely not.
All right.
But more importantly, Tommy's the perfect guy for this because Tommy is one of the few brewers in America who I'd be like, how do you do it? Because you do it. First of all, that's not a question or three questions. That's 19 fucking questions. But I guess what I'm saying is if you let really proper, kind of natural, because we don't have a cool ship, so kind of natural, but you also just let what's living in your wood live and you let things go and you make a big, heavy, chewy, turbid mash and you throw it in wood and you wait 2, 3, 4, 6 years, everything gets kind of fecund and kind of very, very earthy.
It gets what?
Fecund. Rotting leaves.
Thank you.
Anyway, really dirty, but to me really sexy. Like it's like a truffle. Like we live in a world of truffle oil and people don't understand what truffles are supposed to smell like. But truffles smell like hippie sex with weed around and armpits and there's just this approach avoidance of just base, really guttural flavors and then the prettiness of that. And what I love about the best European lambics is when you root fruit to that earthiness, right? When you let something go fucking insanely, this is what it smells like after the rain in the woods in a J.R.R. Tolkien book. And then you're like, let's pull raspberries towards that instead of pull that away with raspberries. That's what I'm talking about. So for me, it's not a chemical process. It's not a whatever process. It's a leave it in the barrels, let it do its thing, not get in its way, not guide it, and grab it at this exact moment and then give it some prettiness to destroy and let that the destruction of that prettiness be what your lambic style beers are. Tommy?
Yeah, are you still here?
Am I still here?
are any of us still here?
I definitely had a sense of deja vu. I think I've heard that answer before.
There's no way I said that before.
Tell me, have you ever heard the joke about Dean Martin's girlfriend who is a magician's assistant?
No.
I'll tell you later.
You're the worst Good. Podcast host ever. Anyway, Tommy, go on. Do you know what I mean, though?
I think it's a simple thing. I think that if a perfect beer manifests itself in the aging process, it's a lot like a classic supermodel. She doesn't need lipstick or she doesn't need to be done up, but a bad one looks like an Instagram model.
John's looking at his Instagram models as we speak.
It's the only feed that I have. It's mostly dudes with beards.
But do you know what I mean? When you've got something perfectly dirty, like sexy dirty, and then you grab something pretty and pull it down.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about when I say I want to do that to beers.
So the thing is, this is a question that on this show and also on the other podcasts that I've done over the last 5 years, which I guess are a lot. It's so many.
It's funny that it's only one so, makes it. So I wonder many. What the key is.
Yeah, it's Justin. Justin it's is Justin. The key that
Justin
holds
has
us
value
together.
Constantly.
Hey. I ask this question all the time of how do you know when ... And it is such a personal answer for most brewers, because like it is some people like mushrooms, some people don't. Some people like mustard and some people like different kinds of mustard. Like it comes down to a brewer's preference of what they want or what they envision their final beer to be. And I think that questions like this are helpful because it helps narrow in the DNA of a particular brewery, but it's not a catch-all answer because right now with 8,100 breweries in the country and everybody doing something different, it would almost be a disservice to say they should all be one particular way or we should all know
when. No, but I think
when
he was asking for my opinion and then he wanted your opinion.
Right, so I'm
saying... happen to have Tommy on who's
but
good
I'm,
at it. Right?
But I'm
Tommy's
saying, though...
beers.
His
he liked it
his
it.
Follow-up was, you know, about like, you know, the breweries in the country and what I'm seeing. And I'm seeing that everybody has their own thing. And what you said and what Tommy said, everybody has their own thing. And I think that we can, or we live in an age right now, at least 3 weeks ago, where we could travel wherever we wanted to and drink whatever we wanted to, that people could find beers that suit their taste. And right now, like, you know, and if you find it, great. And if you don't find it, like...
Yeah, what have you lost?
Keep searching. So, yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Tommy?
I think it boils down to there's two arguments. You know, drink what you like, and then there's the other side of it as a producer where I think this is the world Augie was living in where it's kind of like, how do you know? And as a producer, you have to put your thematic emphasis into it. Like, this is what I was trying to do. And then, you know, you have to answer the question internally. Like, when you bottle that beer and then you open it and you have to say, did I get it right? Did I get it close? Am I good with it? Like it's the sense of how much energy are you going to put into making it better? Or are you just going to live in a world where you're like, it was close enough. And I think that the perfection mechanism is not as great today as it used to be. I think there's a lot less people that are aspiring to be perfectionists. I think there's a lot of people aspiring to be, participants. And the difference between a great beer and a regular beer is the care and the love that go into it. So,
love it.
That's a great note to end on. Justin, yeah. Thanks for adding value.
No problem.
Tommy, thanks for calling in.
Thanks, man.
Hey, thieves. So these are three. So we have them. John will always be willing to, cross the desert for the liquid that is talking to me.
Yeah, no, you're going to come up to Metuchen the next time.
That's never going to happen.
You're going to go north of the Driscoll, baby.
It's just never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
Going to put you in an Uber.
Tiny Bubbles, it's going to happen. So you should try that. And if you haven't had Tommy's just old school cork and cage barley wines like John Hall was sharing on the California medias last week.
Right.
I'm thinking you should do that.
Yeah. Hey, Justin, if people want to get in contact with us in this post-apocalyptic world, how do they do it?
They can email us at stillthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com. You can comment on our Facebook page, send us a message on Facebook, or submit a message through our website, stillthisbeer.com.
Cool.
Wow, that was tight.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Hey, Tommy, thank you. Hey, guys, Patreon us. We're braving these elements so John never has to sit back with the diseased regular class on a plane. So Patreon us, keep doing that. John's writing me a note in what I think must be court reporter shorthand.
Yeah, just keep going.
Those aren't words.
They are.
Stop pretending those are words. All right. You know I can't read.
All right. Anyway. Finish the show.
Thank you, Tommy. Hey, guys, get at us. Let us know what we're doing.
All right. Cheers.
Bye, everybody.
Cheers. Put your headset back on.
Why?
Because we're going to keep it going, and I'm going to call Cass.
Oh, that's fun. But is this a new episode?
No.
Or is this tagged on the old episode?
This is
so
just going to be.
Live. You
so
hung
we've
up on
ended.
Those two.
I ended the conversation with those guys. Yeah, absolutely.
That's fun.
Hang on a second. I need some dialing music, please.
Doodly 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 doodly.
So Cass told me that he couldn't come down and sit 6 feet away from us because he was going to a party.
Fucking Cass. To be fair, that must
have. Hello.
Hey, what's up, B Cass?
What's going on?
Hi, Brian Cass. You're live on the air.
John and I are surrounded by empty cans of beer. We've done 3 episodes. Justin's been on 2 of them.
This is a bonus.
You are the tail end after the siren music of episode 3, Tommy Arthur. We're still live.
Oh, wow.
What's this fucking party you're going to, you weird reprobate? You're supposed to be social distancing.
Social distancing? I am social distancing.
What party are you social distancing at? Is this some weird millennial thing I don't know where y'all dress in spacesuits and touch each other?
No. We just hang out by ourselves and just drink ourselves to oblivion.
No, you told
here.
Me that you couldn't come and like engineer the show because you were going to a party.
I didn't say that.
See, John, you're always lying.
Oh, man.
Thieves, I told you.
Cass.
Everybody's
there was
always
no
lying.
There was no mention
Cass.
Of a party.
Cass,
just so
Cass,
you know,
why couldn't you be here
pizza.
On Saturday afternoon then?
Yeah, I'm too busy spackling my walls here. Social distancing.
Smart.
Wow.
Cass, way to see now.
Wow.
You don't get it, John Hubbock.
Cass and I are going to fight.
Cass is the only genius I know.
Cass and I are going to fight after this.
Cass is the only genius I know. He's like, can't leave my house. I'm going to spackle some shit. Cass is the only genius I know. You're like, no, I'll go to Augie's. That's fine.
On Tuesday, Cass was like, no, man, I got a party this weekend.
All right. So this is the tail end of shit. But Cass, you
Cass
see
is like,
wait,
I'm bringing
on,
canned
on,
wine
on,
to
on,
a party.
Hold on, this is the end, so hopefully nobody's listening, but Cass, you see my new car?
Yeah, so far today, I've done a hot water heater, spackled some walls.
Wait,
and
you
I
spackled
got
a hot water
myself.
Heater? That's not how that works.
It's not, yeah.
Fucking Cass. Hey, what video
Thanks,
do
Brian.
We have to put up this week, Brian?
What's that?
What video do
no,
we have
let's
to
not
put
talk.
Up?
We don't have to get into this. We'll hang up. Say goodbye.
I got to say goodbye?
No, Augie says goodbye. I'm going to end it, and you guys can keep talking.
I'll just text you, Cass. But did you see my new car?
Yeah, I did. Very,
dope,
very
right?
nice.
Thank you.
Very nice.
All I
can't wait
is
to take
like
it for a spin.
All I care is you, like it. You come down. You can drive it. If you were here today, you'd be doing laps right now.
I would be. But you know, the plague's gonna last another month. So
oh,
we'll,
you're the
no,
goddamn
I it was
worst.
A pandemic. All right, y'all. Thieves. Thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah.
We hope this gave you some entertainment trapped in your house. I'm sure NPR has put out 97 podcasts since we did this one.
We started a new one, too. Andy started one just for COVID-19.
Oh, God.
It's called Beer Edge.
Is it really called
it
Edgelord
is.
Radio?
It's the Beer Edge podcast.
By the way, Andy put up a very funny meme that my wife showed me, not knowing I know Andy.
Uh-huh.
Let's end on that.
Who knows Andy?
Andy put up
Nobody
a Twitter thing that said, I didn't think I was giving up this much for Lent. And my wife showed it to me off somebody else's feed. And I was like, that's Andy. And she goes, who's Andy? I was like,
doesn't matter.
I can't tell you all this after midnight on a Tuesday. Yay, Andy. Hey, guys.
Hey, Cass.
I love Andy Crouch.
Thanks.
Yep.
Hey, Cass, why don't you tell people how they can get in contact with
us? And how do they Instagram you? I mean, Patreon you.
You can reach us at Steal This Beer on all social media platforms. Do Patreon us. Thank you for those that do Patreon us. You can do that by going to patreon.com/stealthisbeer. And, yeah, stay safe and healthy out there, people. Yeah.
Drink some canned wine.
Drink some canned wine. High ABV.
Look at the people in my yard, not social distancing. All right. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Cheers.
All right. Cheers.